Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:13 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 10th. Well, today was quite notable for the uptick that we've seen in volatility. This is an important move because it has now broken as of the close. It's been strengthening just about all day, and it has now broken that progression of lower rally highs. Upside follow through tomorrow would certainly confirm the break of the trend, which has been evident since that peak in volatility back in 2015. And that would suggest that we are in a risk-off environment right now. What is interesting is that the VXN, which is the NASDAQ 100's volatility index, has in fact been trending higher, but in a very moderate fashion for the last few months, and it also strengthened. It is bouncing from the region of the trend mean. It hasn't quite yet broken the highs that we saw a few weeks ago, but nonetheless, the trend is upwards. What we've also seen is that just about all the main Wall Street indices are now retreating from psychological areas of resistance, like the 2500 level on the S&P 500. But when we look at, for example, the weekly chart, we can see that there has been an overbought condition relative to the trend mean. The medium-term progression of high reaction lows is still intact. This is the first 1% decline on the S&P 500 in really quite some time. Based on the peak of last week and where the moving average is, it's overextended relative to the trend mean by about 5%. A 5% pullback is practically nothing in the context of what the market is capable of doing. And when we look at the 10-year chart, we can see umpteen occasions on which it has pulled back by more than that. So there is the whiff of risk off about the trading that we've seen in here today. That would suggest that the likelihood of a reversion to the mean has increased, and not least because the index is in the region of a psychological roundophobic level. The NASDAQ 100, very similarly, testing that 6,000 level and then pulling back from it a bit in here today. But again, the medium-term progression of higher reaction lows is still intact. It is about 10% overextended relative to the trend mean, and we are really only a few days off the peak in here. And considering that we are in the second week of August, markets are reasonably thin. There are a lot of people on holiday, and that the potential is that we are going to have some pause and consolidation. Interestingly enough, the Dow Jones, which has been testing the 22,000 level, was down less, but nonetheless, it was down almost 200 points. And the most likely scenario is that we do get some pause and consolidation in the region of these big round numbers. But that is perhaps the most rational way of thinking about the market. What we are starting to see is irrational commentary starting to flow through that the world is ending. And there isn't a great deal of evidence for that just yet. Certainly, the uptick in brinksmanship with regard to what's happening in North Korea is worrisome. And that is potentially something that could affect what is likely to happen. When we think about what is it's the primary choice in front of Donald Trump is are the population of about 25 million people in South Korea worth more or less or equal to the lives of the potential loss of life from a missile strike, and however unlikely, on the U.S. mainland. And that really is the big question. Obviously, Seoul has got a population of about 10 million people. A conventional missile strike with artillery shells would certainly put the loss of life in the thousands, but certainly not in the millions. And then the question is what happens with the nuclear weapons and whether those can be strategically targeted in a manner that is going to minimize the collateral damage and loss of life. So there are big questions out there. What is certainly the case is that we are seeing the defense sector continuing to do very well. Lockheed Martin is just one example, and it is now somewhat overextended, and it wasn't quite able to hold its peak in here today. But nonetheless, this remains a rather strong uptrend, and but does look overextended at the present moment, by about 10%. A 10% pullback in the context of a medium-term advance would, from the perspective of most investors, would be considered a buying opportunity rather than anything to really get overly worried about. And unless we saw, and I think that it isn't nearly overextended enough to constitute acceleration. So when we start to really consider where are we in terms of the market environment, we are in a seasonally volatility-prone time of the year, and we are testing areas of roundophobia where people begin to ask what's next. The brinksmanship, and if you think about it, it's and our memories tend to be very short. It's not at all unusual that we get these kinds of events cropping up in the summers, because there's just less to write about. But what we can only do is monitor the price action. And there was a lot happening in terms not just of the major indices and indeed the volatility indices, but when we look at, for example, big companies that have also paused in the region of psychological levels, like $1,000 for Amazon, that it did not hold its peak 3 weeks ago, and it is now testing its progression of higher reaction lows, and it continues to look like a reversion back to the mean. The most consistent thing about the advance in Apple, excuse me, in Amazon, is that it has found support in the region of the trend mean following occasional rather deep pullbacks, and we're not there yet. And Google is another share that has paused in the region of $1,000, and it is now also back towards the lower side of or at least testing the most recent reaction low. It didn't quite surmount the $1,000 level on a sustained basis, but it has unwound the majority of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. And for example, when you look at Facebook, which had really been one of those that has done particularly well over the last month, then there is some pause going on here as well, and it has about $23 of fat on the share. So that is one that is more overextended relative to the trend mean than some of the others, and therefore it has greater potential to pull back. And the trend since shortly after the IPO has been that it has bounced from the region of the trend mean on successive occasions. As long as it is doing that, I don't think anyone is going to be overly concerned about it. So the VIX index is certainly rising. What I find quite interesting is that the short VIX ETFs have been among the best performing this year, but that is a whopping downward dynamic that we see on the SVXY in here today. They do best in periods of low volatility, and because they are benefiting from the time decay in the options that they're short of. So when volatility spikes higher, then they come under really quite profound pressure. So there is a very strong likelihood, or certainly a non-trivial risk, to these types of instruments if volatility continues to advance, that it looks quite likely that the trend will be broken. When we look at the gold market, then it is continuing to firm from the $1,200 area, and gold is coming up now towards that $1,300 area. When we look at the medium-term chart, it had that big pullback at the end of 2016. It's been consolidating above $1,200. This looks like a, and considering that the most important thing that the chart has done was that massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend at the beginning of 2016, this looks like a period of right-hand extension following a type 2 bottom. And that would suggest that the most likely scenario is higher to lateral ranging in here, that provided it can surmount 1300, the most or the nearest next area of potential resistance is around $1,400, and gold has safe haven attributes. Silver has pushed above $17 in here today, and it is now trading above the trend mean. It has been firming just about all week, and that is following what was a pretty stiff pullback last Friday. It completely countermanded it, and this is a reminder that silver is characteristically volatile. One of the reasons that people invest in it is because of its volatility, that it is prone to these pullbacks, and that it is best bought following reactions. And that is the case for all commodities, that they are best bought on weakness. That practically a mantra at this service over the last 15 years has been don't pay up for commodities. And platinum has also continued to firm in here. So what we're definitely seeing is that the precious metals are beginning to attract interest for their safe haven characteristics. But the strength was certainly not universal in commodities today. That is a downside Q reversal on Brent crude. It rather confirms resistance around this $54 area, and if we get downside follow through tomorrow, it will have broken its progression of higher reaction lows, and will have confirmed that the progression of lower rally highs, evident since January, is still intact. That's despite the fact that OPEC has tried to come out with more positive news about what they're going to do to try and support prices. This remains a very volatile, a difficult environment, and the soft commodities were also under pressure in here today. Sugar prices, which had been steadying, have pulled back in a, or at least have pulled back over the last couple of days and broken the upward bias since the beginning of June. I closed my longs in coffee. I think that they have done rather well, and the most likely scenario now is that we get some consolidation. Then, when we look at, for example, the corn market, we're also getting some evidence here of some risk coming out of it. And when we look at that on the weekly basis, we can see very clearly that it has work to do. That we had an impressive rally from 3 to 400 cents, and now it is testing the progression of higher reaction lows. If it's going to bounce, it's going to have to get about it in the next day or two. Otherwise, it's really a confirmation of resistance around $4, and we could see a further test of underlying trading. So, what we're certainly seeing evidence of is that there's increasing risk off to this market environment. When we look at the European markets, they were also in negative territory, but not to the same degree as we've had on Wall Street. And certainly the Euro stocks is pulling back. It's coming down faster. Excuse me, it's coming down slower than it rose. It is unwinding its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. It is in need of a catalyst, and we may not get a bullish catalyst out of these markets again until the end of the year, as we come back into September, which is generally a more favorable time of the year. Then, when we look at what's happening in China, there has been a pattern of a strengthening renminbi all week, and that was. It extended its advance in here today. The Chinese are certainly moving in to support their currency. They are attempting to drain liquidity out of the system. They are trying to contain the shadow banking sector. But of course, they also have this issue with people need yield, and there is this massive gap between the deposit rate and the lending rate. So that pushes people into these wealth products, which are designed to offer much more attractive yields. And that's something that has to be, at some stage, that has to be addressed. They're certainly trying to withdraw some of the liquidity out of the system. They're trying to ensure that the health of the financial system. And as the renminbi continues to strengthen, it is worth considering the banking sector, because if they are withdrawing liquidity from the system, that's not great news for the banks. They were a bit overbought following a very impressive advance in July, and now we're getting some consolidation of that. The upper side of the underlying range is around 14,000, and we're not that far away from it. So this is a natural area where we might anticipate some support being found. One market in Asia today that really stood out for the size of its decline was Taiwan. Taiwan has cleared the 10,000 level over the last few weeks, or indeed the last few months. But what we are looking at right now is a downside weekly Q reversal. That was a big pullback that we saw in here today, and it is now it's challenging the progression of higher reaction lows. So that would suggest that we are entering a period of consolidation for the Taiwanese market. So I think that there's certainly an air of risk off to this market. Precious metals are certainly beginning to benefit from heightened geopolitical tensions. But when we think about the what we've seen, this is perhaps just an uptick in volatility. That we have had such an inert environment that people are not used to a move of 1% or even 2% on the Nasdaq today. That an overextension relative to the trend mean of 5% is not a great deal, and that by and large, what we're presented with is somewhat overbought conditions relative to the trend mean, not massive overextensions. And that would suggest that what we're in for is some mean reversion, but that the reversions that have to take place are not particularly wide. And but this is certainly a time to monitor price action quite closely, because with mean reversion, there is of course always the risk that you could have a deeper pullback, and that things that are way overextended relative to the trend mean are those that are most at risk of pulling back in a violent manner. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.